Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, 11 o'clock hour. We're slowing things down a little bit here, I guess, on a game day.
Jeez,
thanks,
relax.
Need some hype-up music, man.
I don't know what we're doing.
Chiefs game day.
It is game day in Kansas City. The Chiefs taking on the Jags. Pre-game coverage begins at 4 right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Because Drew brought it up, let's just address the elephant in the room, I guess. I wasn't going to bring it up because I think Drew wanted us to bring it up is where I'm
sure.
Now convinced.
I did not.
But Drew brought it up on his own last segment. Anybody that follows our social media may have noticed something on Saturday, and I want to personally apologize, actually, on behalf of this show.
That we have decency standards?
We want to apologize.
Okay. This is an above-board show?
I want to apologize on behalf of the show for the video that was put out there Saturday afternoon in the middle of your nice, relaxing Saturday. You're out with the kids at the park, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to scroll through Instagram, and you all of a sudden were greeted by a running Drew Nixon shirtless trying to talk to you about college football. I don't know. There was a lot of other elements of the video we could break down.
Why were
well.
You shirtless?
I was on a run.
Sure.
Okay, but why didn't you just do the video before you run?
Well, I did that.
On the station account?
I did that already last week.
Okay, but like that's how social media videos are. So you were trying to change the location of the video.
Yep.
And you decided, again, I don't think anybody on this station should be shirtless on the station.
I agree.
You have
I agree.
To stay tuned to how this upcoming week goes. You know, ahead of the Alabama.
You gonna take your pants off? What's left?
No.
Well, what's the next stage? What no. kind of threat is that? He's threatening me with nudity.
I didn't.
You did just say, "Oh, wait till you thought me shirtless on our station account, wasn't it?
Wait
just till wait. Next week."
I probably should have phrased it differently.
You're a step away. Where
seriously,
like,
what is the next step? You're going to be doing a yo-yo?
I'm convinced you're soft launching an OnlyFans account, and you're using the station platform to do it.
No. It has something to do with what we've joked about on the show, particularly when I'm outside and another preview video for the weekend slate as well.
So I got to see your hip bones?
No.
Low shorts?
No, it's not that.
Well, we did make fun of that.
It's not that.
Okay. What other thing? The mirror selfie?
I got something new that I'm going to wear.
Is it the Hooters outfit you're going to have in?
No.
Sound like you're describing a potential launch into OnlyFans.
Yeah. I got something new I want to try out and show you. Like, what?
I don't want to see it. Whatever it is.
Oh,
I'm going to be staying away from the station Instagram account.
We're trying to build our audience.
Follow our Instagram page, all right?
He's about to get us shadowed,
our station demographic isn't really looking for that, Drew. What the heck?
I'm not going
Someone
to
says be. Drew's about to have baby oil all over. Oh, my gosh. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Drew likes whiteouts. We know other people who like to white, you know, the parties at his house, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they wear all white for those?
Mm-hmm.
Some commonality all of a sudden. Mm. Just your threat makes no sense. You're shirtless.
It's not a threat. I'm
the
just
only
telling
next
you.
Step is you're like either shirtless kissing your bicep or
nope.
your pants
not gonna
are
that's not
exposing
happen.
Certain. Like,
nope.
I mean, there's only so many steps it can take.
It's neither of those things. And I guess if I've sold it as that, it's going to underwhelm, I suppose.
Okay. I just, you know.
There will not be.
Interesting.
I will not be shirtless in this upcoming one. At
Thank
least.
Goodness.
That's the plan.
Thank goodness.
All right.
Nobody needed to see that. Nobody needed to see that on Saturday.
I weigh more than 90 pounds, I promise. It's, you know. From the text line. Drew weighs 90 pounds soaking wet. Yeah, that was a little bit more than that, but.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but
you're not too far off. only 40 pounds. But yeah.
Oh, man. Someone just says, please, dear God, no banana hammock.
Yeah. Someone else says, Drew is just getting his the Hooters bet payoff, you know,
he's getting shape for it.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Smart, honestly. After they've lost three in a row after winning the first two. Turns out Jake Browning, not so, so good.
Anyway,
so
go apologize on behalf of the show.
Hey, go follow us on Instagram.
Instagram. I know this is our best advertisement.
We'll also be reacting live. We'll also be reacting live right after the Missouri-Alabama game, as we have reacted to all the games throughout all the weeks of the college football season. It's been a lot of fun hanging out with
you. I've learned too from the video, real quick. If the video's gone, so I can't play the audio. I learned Weekend Drew is a completely different vibe based on the way you talked in the video. Everything you were trying to sound very cool and everything and hip. It was a completely different Drew Nixon vibe in that video.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You think he changed up his personality?
Completely different
cool
person.
Cool guy Drew on the weekend.
Oh, very much say, "What's up, y'all? I'll be right here." Oh, I was very much that. It was very much that.
It's more of do not feel like you can.
Well, then be that way on the show. Why are you not being yourself?
It was very different Drew. I had not seen that before.
I want real Drew on this show.
I wish I had the audio of it.
We're getting fake Drew.
I think I definitely talk. I don't know if I talk similar to that, but there's definitely some moments where I'm being myself on the show, and I act the way that I do in regular life.
I'm about to watch one of these videos.
So we'll see. We'll see. Check out college football videos
over on Instagram. Meanwhile, the Chiefs have a game tonight on Monday Night Football, and I've decided, and I think it's probably a fair way for us all to handle this. This is the benchmark test. Is the Chiefs offense for real? I'll be honest. I didn't think it was fair to move the goalpost on the Ravens game because they played a nearly perfect game of offense, but let's also look at it in the mirror a little bit. The Ravens are making everyone look like Tom Brady in the middle of his 16-0 regular season. He's got people look at CJ Stroud carved him up yesterday. The week before was Mahomes. It doesn't matter the opponent. The Ravens are letting every single quarterback do absolute numbers against them. So, for a team that is fourth in the NFL in points per game in the Jags, get good pressure, are mostly healthy. I know the reports are from Ian Rappaport that Trayvon Walker is unlikely to play the game tonight. They are mostly healthy with most of their weapons and have been consistently one of the better defenses in the NFL from most metrics. This is the test. Is your offense good with Worthy? Is it okay? And look, there can still be improvement with Rice. But was what I saw last week at least partially true? I'm looking at this game like that tonight.
It is a confirmation game, and I get it. You know, there's some people that are 100% all in what they saw against the Ravens, and it's good to go, offense full go, never looking back, all that. And that might be the case. But I understand there's probably a huge chunk of not just Chiefs fans, but I know nationally because we've heard it. We've played clips of it. We've seen it for the last week post-Ravens game. People said, all right. That's just the Ravens team that had eight starters out and all that kind of stuff. So they have an opportunity tonight to show that, no, with Worthy on the field, that is what our offense is capable of.
We're dangerous
again. And wait till all of a sudden Rashee Rice is part of this thing and this offense is going to be one of the better offenses in football. That's what tonight has a chance to be. Now, ultimately, just find a way to win the football game, right? We're all on the same page there.
Yeah, I agree.
But in terms of feeling like the offense truly has put everything else behind them, tonight's a big one for that. Also knowing for people to feel better about what's to come, because this next game, which is less than a week away now, the Lions are playing on Sunday Night Football against Kansas City, and we know what their offense is capable of doing. If you talk about needing to get in a shootout or whatever, that Lions offense, all the worry after week one looks silly. That offense is fully good to go in Detroit again. They got everything working. So I look at tonight, you said it, like a prove it game, confirmation game, however you want to phrase it. I totally am on the same page. And I think most people are as well. Just show that last week wasn't a fluke. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, I look at their opponents so far this year, the Chargers, who they faced, eighth best points per game defense after giving up some points the last couple of weeks. They had previously been number one. They obviously will face, as we mentioned, the number four ranked points per game defense. Philly is currently 16th in points per game. And as we know, the Ravens are dead last. Awful. So it's like they haven't faced a defense who through four games of the year for these two teams as performing at this rate. All the other top defenses in the NFL are teams they just haven't faced, if we're being honest. Houston, Denver, those are the number one and number two ranked defenses in points per game. Indianapolis is number three. That is not the three teams I was expecting, number one, two, and three. Denver, maybe. The rest, no. Arizona's sixth best. Minnesota's seventh. Not the teams, again, you would expect. Not teams they faced. I want them to prove that even without Rashee Rice, and I don't mean 40 points, Gold. I just want them to prove that they can move the ball, score points, so that without Rashee Rice, because they are still going to have to do that, to your point, against Detroit. Detroit's not some team you're beating 20-17. I don't care how good your defense is playing. Detroit is going to put up some points. Like, that's... they're just going to put up some points.
I would be shocked if it was a 20-17 game next Sunday. Yeah. Tonight, it's weird. Tonight, though, against Jacksonville.
Not out of the question, sure.
You know, tonight, we'll give our official score. But I think, you know, if you told me the Chiefs got to 24 points, I think it's probably enough tonight based on the Chiefs' defense and what the Jags have done. You know, I can't remember, our social media clip may already be out there, but I'm somewhere in that 28 range for the Chiefs. So as far as how many points I think they score tonight. Just based on what we've seen from the Chiefs defense, they're in a spot now where these are not the days of where you thought, hey, because your defense is so, you know, 3 years ago, oh, you got the Chiefs better get to 28 because their defense is going to give up 26 or 28. We're long past that. You kind of over back to the sense of, if the offense is good enough to get to 28, you feel like you're going to win most of these games.
Well, and Jacksonville's been a mediocre offense, so you should be able to hold them down. They've been no different really than you. And the Chiefs offense just got Xavier Worthy back, so you're supposed to be a better team. Look, Detroit scores 34.8 points per game. Not shocking. Number one in the NFL in that category. And so I just feel like I want this test tonight against a defense that can get pressure, that limits points, that's really good in the red zone, that gets sacks. They kind of do, they don't do anything, I think, in the elite level category. Like, I don't look at them and be like, that's the best pass rush in the NFL. That's the best secondary. But they also don't have any major flaws. There's no part of their defense that you're like, oh, they can't stop the run, they can't stop the pass, they're bad against deep pass, bad against... No, they're just kind of all around good. And if you're kind of all around good, that's a really good test for an offense that has at least one of their major weapons back for a week. And I understand he's questionable going into the game tonight. All the reports are that that was precautionary and that he should be good to go for the game. But
yeah, or these, like, playing tonight, yeah.
The Ravens defense, admittedly, the one game where you saw the Chiefs light up the scoreboard, the Ravens defense looks like it's Cincinnati's from... It looks like the worst defense in the NFL.
They are.
They look lost.
Some of it is injury, and some of it is just they don't have the entire defensive scheme that work in the way it was in the past. Like, there's a limitation. Yes, injury is why it probably looks this bad.
But they were going to be bad.
They were not
going
to be a good defense even with some of those guys. I mean, it's pathetic right now what's going on in Baltimore. We'll talk some more Chiefs-Jags coming up during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're also about 7 minutes away from the trash of the day. But college football, we don't usually get to talk a ton of it on Monday because usually we're reacting to a Chiefs game. But it's kind of a spot we're in with the game day being tonight. So let's just take a look at all three locals right now. I know Mizzou had a bye. KU and K-State were both in action. And now an updated look on how we see it finishing for these locals. We did our preseason predictions like everybody back in of August and everything. But right now, let's start with Missouri, okay? They're 5-0. We know they have a huge test coming up against Alabama, who's number 8 in the country. Then they have games at Auburn, at Vandy. They still have a game against A&M and Oklahoma on the schedule on the road in Norman, by the way.
That is a brutal
the
schedule.
Easier games on the paper, of course, are Mississippi State and then at Arkansas, obviously, to wrap up the season as well. Look, their path, we've kind of gone over their path more than any of the other locals. I mean, it is all there in front of them. Now, it's a very tough road. They can afford a couple losses, but if you beat Alabama, all of a sudden, they go from just having a 3-1 chance to make the college football playoff to
even money, probably.
Yeah, or better. I mean, this is a huge swing, and this is a monumental test for them Saturday. I don't know. What time is the kickoff? Do we know the kickoff time? I'm sure we do. But
11
a.m., so early kick. Okay.
Is this like the second or third biggest game they've played since being in the SEC? They've had a couple of big ones.
I have to go back because they won the SEC East before.
They won the SEC title game twice.
Yeah.
So
that's
tough. Those, I know, and those are at least two of them, right?
I would say top five for sure.
This has got to be in that
five,
ranking.
At least.
Alabama, you got them at home, you're undefeated. The college football, the year they were in the SEC title game, Drew, had they won it, they probably are one of the final four teams remaining. So same thing, right? You actually get to play in the, whatever, that was a four-team tournament, now a 12-team tournament. You actually get to play in the final part of it for a chance to win a national championship.
It's definitely up there for sure.
That's why I feel like it's maybe, it's at the very least top five. There's no question for
them. Let's say they win it.
Does anyone think they're beating Alabama?
I don't think they're going to beat Bama.
It's really tough, man.
I don't think they beat Bama, but I think they'll go to Auburn and Vandy and win. So they can lose to Bama. Then bounce back and beat Auburn and Vandy on the road. The Bama one is, if you quote unquote steal this one, I know it's a home game, but if you steal this one, then you're sitting really, really pretty the rest of the way.
To your point, Cody, they might not just have this one that's in that top five of biggest games since then, but also the Oklahoma game is I think that one is also going to be in that equation.
It might be a win and you're in.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that game might be for a playoff berth for whoever wins that game.
Yeah, that definitely sets up that way. Missouri, we'll talk later in the week more about their game. Just a massive opportunity against a top 10 team in the country. Then you go to KU. They're now 4-2. They had to beat UCF.
Wasn't pretty.
It wasn't.
But it was a win.
They dug themselves a little bit of a hole. They were able to come back in that atmosphere down in UCF. And now they get number 9 Texas Tech, who looks
the top scoring team in the country.
Like the class of the Big 12 to, to this point in time. We already discussed the NIL money and the talent, and boy, it's paying off already for them.
In fairness, if they win this, if Kansas pulls a massive upset, what are they, 15-point? How big of underdogs are they? Anybody know?
The latest line. Yeah, they're significant dogs.
If they buy some
this is their
miracle,
best opponent remaining.
And this is a much longer shot than the Alabama game. If they some miracle win this game, they got a real chance of the Big 12 title game. And so that part of it has to be taken seriously.
13.5-point dogs on the road in Lubbock. It's, I think, a 6:30 kickoff. Yeah, 6:30 kickoff. The total for the game is 60.5, so everybody's expecting this just to be some fireworks and points all over the place. But yeah, look, their path, you know, it depends on what we're talking about. Are we still talking Big 12 title game possibility? Are we just talking about having an 8-win season? Because look, you drop one to Tech. That's realistic, okay? They go to 4-3. Then K-State is extremely vulnerable.
If you haven't beaten them in a billion years.
Correct. All right, so let's just play it out. Okay, let's say 5-3. Oklahoma State's terrible.
Yep,
6-3. Arizona, I think, is a toss-up game.
Let's call it 6-4 since we gave him Kansas State.
Okay, sure. Iowa State. Iowa State is this is where I still think
6-5.
6-5, and then Utah is a top. I mean, so this is where I still think a 6-win season, unfortunately, is still only in play. I don't know if like the 8-win season is all that realistic for them anymore.
For Kansas, I know it's it would be a disappointing year just because of the quarterback you've got and how long you've had him in your program at Kansas. But for Kansas, every year in which their head's above water, they're 7 wins or better. I feel like at least as a program, you are still balancing yourself out. That truthfully, until we're 10 years into this thing and they continue to get 7 or 8 wins,
right,
that's a win for Kansas because they have to be able to prove stability over the long haul before I'm going to start putting pressure on them to be better. Missouri, they've been stable for a long time, have a schedule that favors them still overall, already started 5-0. They got pressure to get in the college football playoff again this year because they missed it last year. And then K-State,
I don't even know where to start with them
because that thing fell apart on them so fast.
They're 2-4. They lost on a blocked field goal after giving up a last second field goal to Baylor down there. That was a game K-State should have had. Their path to just get to a bowl game, TCU, good luck.
Tough.
At KU, I'll still say because of the history and everything, it's a tough game, but
it's not. They can definitely win it because college sports are weird.
Then Tech, they're not being Texas Tech. Mm. At Oklahoma State, that's a winnable game. At Utah,
that's probably a loss.
Colorado's winnable this year. But again, at that point, is K-State checked out? You don't know, right? It just depends where they're at. Are they going to get to say, where's 4 wins on that schedule, guys?
They have to beat Kansas.
Oklahoma State, obviously, yeah. If they're going to
Oklahoma State, KU is 2. Where are they picking up 2 more?
Colorado, and Utah? Maybe TCU.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously going to be a grind to get to 6.
What's crazy is, in the 4 losses, they could have won so many.
They're just like Kansas from last season.
Could have won in Ireland. Could have won yesterday.
Sure.
Like, there's not a crazy... This isn't one of those like make believe homerisms.
Could have lost to North Dakota though.
There's a universe. Yeah. That's why the Kansas comp to last year is actually really good.
Yeah.
Every game they play is close. Every game they could have won. But when's the last time? I'd have to look it up. When's the last time that Kansas State didn't get in a bowl game? Was it that 2020, 2019 year? Like right around there.
The first year that Klieman was there, I think they went.
And then a couple of those years, like one of the years under Bill Snyder, I remember didn't go great. But so like maybe that year, if it wasn't
Chris
the last
Kleiman's
year of Kleiman
fired by any stretch.
I'm not asking that, but I don't think anybody's seriously having that conversation.
That'd be crazy. He to me has been very, very, very good for that program.
I gotta say, it especially hurts or should hurt for Kansas State fans for the obvious reason. They got their guy. Avery was supposed to be their guy.
He played great on Saturday.
He
was so good.
Up until he made the critical mistake at the end, Drew. He played a nearly perfect game, I would argue. Up until that one mistake in the fourth quarter, I would say he was phenomenal. But when you get your guy at quarterback, you have your star. The problem is if you miss a bowl game with Avery Johnson, And then you go through this year. Well, there's a chance he just enters the portal and he goes to play great for someone
else. Which is
why,
yeah, there's absolutely still
there's something to play for Kansas State.
100%. Which I think, and even a lot of people are mad at Matt Wells and Chris Klieman for the late game little time management debacle, which they had where it was second and goal. They threw the ball twice, both incompletions. Baylor didn't have to use their final timeout, and it gave them extra time. They, you know, K-State took the lead after the Avery Johnson pick six, but, you know, they weren't able to make enough plays when it mattered most, and as a result, you know, they end up losing the game.
Trash of the day.
Oh, I thought we got to that at the beginning of the segment.
That was not the trash of the day. Drew's shirtless Instagram video on the. I think it's because it was on the station account made it even worse. So your personal account, you do you, man.
Yeah.
We'd still give you a hard time, but on the station account is what made it wild. Anyway, all right, let's go. This one's local-ish. It's Missouri, at least. This happened about 4 or 5 days ago. Minutes after a 19-year-old allegedly vandalized 17 cars. This sounded like Cody sucks. In his teenage years. This is all basically a Cody story.
I was a bit of a vandal as a
this
child.
This was in a Missouri college parking lot. I'll have to see which college here in a second. Missouri, Drew's college, Missouri State. His Springfield. Oh.
I had a great time in Springfield. There were no problems.
Well, yeah.
We had a great time. Yeah. We had a great time. Anyway, a 19-year-old
Missouri State
sophomore had a lengthy ChatGPT, you guys know the AI app, conversation during which he confessed to the crime. So this guy...
So he was confessing to ChatGPT about confessing to crime?
Yes, he was asked about the possibility of getting caught to ChatGPT. Is there any way they can know it was me, according to a police probable cause statement?
Dude.
He was arrested, charged with felony property damage for a rampage early Sunday at Missouri State University parking lot. Investigators allege that he shattered car windows, ripped off side mirrors, dented hoods, broke windshield wipers during the 3 a.m. spree. When confronted with surveillance footage and other evidence, he said that he could see the resemblance between the suspect and himself. At that point, he reportedly consented to a search of his iPhone, and then when the investigators looked at the iPhone, they saw that at ChatGPT, he actually asked, could they find out? And they also found location data on his phone that they matched him at the same time. And you know.
This guy was definitely guilty of it, but if they're asking for location data, your answer is, I'm going to go and get a lawyer. Like, not, yeah, sure, search up my phone. Especially if you know you typed it into ChatGPT.
Here was the exact, I can't read all this, but the incriminating ChatGPT conversation opened with this kid saying, quote, how effed am I and will I go to jail?
I mean, if you vandalize 17
cars. The AI program gave tips about the potential outcome of getting caught or being involved in this kind of behavior. The kid typed, what if I smash the bleep out of multiple cars? After beginning to spiral, cops say he began to become aggressive towards ChatGPT, saying, I will kill all you bleepers. Upon returning to his Springfield apartment, he began to wind down a bit and declared, remember, this is all to ChatGPT. I got away with it last year, and I don't think there's any way they could know my face. It felt really nice to F their bleep up.
So now he's admitted to a crime from last year, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He'll be barred from any premise where the primary item for sale is alcoholic beverages. He'll be required to comply with random testing for drugs or alcohol.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah.
I got away with it last
year. ChatGPT. If you can't, don't commit a crime, but if you're going to commit a crime, don't be typing into your phone and asking ChatGPT questions. They would have got this kid even without the ChatGPT stuff, but yeah.
This is the fully formed brain part of it is like, it's 17 years old, 21 years old. You feel invincible, especially because this kid got away with it before. I hit some mailboxes and I thought, we'll never get caught doing this. So you're caught.
If you had ChatGPT,
you wouldn't have.
No. My phone's always listening to you. Like,
I don't think so.
It's just the way that
the biggest thing.
There was no location data on me. They were gonna have to catch me live in the act.
That's the thing. It's like you can. But. Whether or not, like nowadays, with the phone down, they can find your. Well, it's not even listening. It's just that they can ping your phone. Like, I mean, it's just
that too.
They can place you at the same spot at the exact same time that a crime was committed. You're effed.
Correct.
Yeah, that's the trash of the day. Up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk more about one player that I think we all agree needs more playing time. But will it happen?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. We were bragging about it. We were talking in the break because we've been our Circa Millions contest. As you know, there's six of us at the station who bought in for $1,000 to make picks against the NFL spread. And so we all have been chipping it because we didn't want to all spend $1,200, you know, after the proxy. We didn't want to spend that individually. So we all chipped in and bought in together. We're on a heater.
We are
13-2 the last 3 weeks,
a 4-1
15-5 the last month,
4-1 yesterday. And so after that terrible 0-5 week one, we're back. We're fully back, so it's been a good run. It makes the week one tick us off even more, honestly. New quarter just started this week, too. There's season-long prizes, but the new quarter started, and we're going to start quarter number two, 4-1. So we had New England last night to cover. They obviously won outright. We had the Titans to cover. We got very fortunate there. We did not have the Giants did not cover. That was our one loss. And then we also had the Colts covering and Dallas covering. So, yeah, it's nice bounce back after the grief we got after week one, understandably so.
We were 0-5 after week one. We are now probably somewhere. We were top. We were like in the 350 range out of 5,800 or whatever it is. It's pretty good.
The top 5%.
And I think we'll be maybe like top 2 or 3% after this week because we went 4-1.
We're moving up. Yeah, making some good progress.
Good start to the quarter. You know, maybe we can dream a little dream.
You take that first week away, you guys might be the hottest team in the country the first right
week.
Now.
Not quite, because 17-3 or 16-4 won the quarter last time, and we're 15-5 over the last month. Over the last 3 weeks, there's probably been very few teams have been better than us because we're 13-2.
Yeah, let's keep it up. Let's keep it up. Someone says never step away when you're on a heater. That's right. That's right.
Honestly, we were so good for so long. I can't believe I haven't just been betting the identical bets.
I've been using some of them.
Opposite. I just bet all of them.
Because some of them, well, not all of them. Because so the way it works,
we don't agree.
We all submit three, and then usually we have a couple that are easy shoe-ins that we multiple people have. And so it depends. Like some weeks, my picks have gone 2-1 or whatever, and your picks have gone 3-0 or 2-1. It doesn't mean we used all three of yours. Like this week, my individual picks went 3-0. We didn't use all three of them. But we still went 4-1
on the year.
Yeah, I don't know what mine is.
In those picks, I'm 9-6 on, which is a more than respectable figure.
So
when it comes to sports,
we got shout out to Dusty, Rob, Speck, Bink, obviously yourself, and we're all in it together here. So it's been good.
Yeah, it's teamwork. Doesn't matter who's picked.
Fun.
As long as we can agree as a group, and it's working.
It's worked out on that. I think the system we have works for that. Like I think we're doing it in a fair way to make sure that everybody feels like they're
contributing.
Their pick is being.
There's weeks where all three of mine were chosen in the mix, and there were weeks that none of them were chosen. Just as long as we are overall on aggregate doing it, it did. Someone says, so Cody hasn't made a pick the last 3 weeks? I actually offered.
He offered
to step away. It was going so poorly at first. I said, I'll just step away. And maybe we need to reduce the numbers for a little while and do better, but I have been making my picks. I've made my picks every week.
By the way, real quick while we're talking about that betting show returns Wednesday night. So 6 o'clock this Wednesday, we bring it back now that baseball season is over. So we'll be talking a little bit on the contest picks, survivor chaos that happened yesterday, especially with that Arizona Cardinals game. 8,000 people were eliminated from the big contest out at Circa in Survivor. It was a chaotic, full of carnage week. So we'll get into that, and we'll obviously look ahead to week six at that point in time. I know the Chiefs have to play tonight, but on Wednesday, we'll be looking ahead to week number six. All right, let's talk some Chiefs football here a little bit. And Breshard Smith started to see an increase last week, and it needs to continue for him. Increase in snaps. I'm not saying the numbers are going to blow you away. Like, they're not. I mean, he's got 7 carries for 24 yards, right? Receiving 3 catches for 27. No, nobody's acting like that the numbers are insane. I'm saying the potential, I believe, is there. He looks explosive when he touches the football, though. There's some excitement. There's some anticipation when he touches the football, not just because fans want to see him, but you can tell that there's some juice there that they have not had on the field. And when they had it last go-around with Worthy at the same time, it was an element to the offense we haven't seen in a little bit. I hope that they're building more trust. He's building more trust, I should say, with the coaching staff, that he gets a few more snaps again tonight and they continue to work him in. And by the time you really get going and you have Rice, that you also can say you have Breshard Smith as a very nice complimentary piece. I think eventually, I know that Kareem Hunt is the best, you know, third down back in terms of pass protection, everything that they have right now. I would like to see Breshard Smith build up that trust to where he turns more into a Jerick McKinnon type role, where he legitimately is their third down back. And because we know he played wide receiver in college. So having that element would be a huge asset on third downs.
And having watched the Chiefs, having watched every Chiefs game for the last, I don't know, decade straight, right? Where in this job, especially, you watch some multiple times and all this other stuff. This feels like the game where the backslide happens on Breshard Smith. And you go like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why did snaps go down, Gold? It is one of the top 5 rushing yards allowed per game defenses in the NFL. They are a turnover defense, as in they are good at getting the ball away. That feels like a spot you don't want to put a rookie in. This feels like the protection game so that they can unleash Breshard Smith more as the season goes on. I know that doesn't make sense, but a lot of times as you build up with Andy, you like get to what feels like a point where you're getting ready to really start taking over the snaps and really start taking over the control. But they do the one more game where it's like, no, it's all you, Pacheco. Give us one more shot. Give us the one more shot at glory and prove to us that you're the lead back. That's why tonight, for instance, like we're talking about betting stuff, I think I'm going to take Pacheco's over on the carries. Not the yardage. Again, they're a very good yardage team. But I'm going to take the over on the carries because I think that they'll do one more Pacheco game than the third we got kind of last week. And it wasn't quite that. It was more like 40-30-20, but it just felt like we saw more Breshard Smith than we had seen at any point this year.
We definitely did, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, absolutely did. But it felt that way too, mm-hmm. right? And so I just feel like I want it to be the Breshard Smith game where they finally like, hey, you know what? This, you know, the other way. This is one of the toughest run defenses in the league so far this year. Show us something. But I just don't feel like they're going to want to risk it for a team that is, if you simply just don't turn it over against the Jags, you're good. That's what's so weird about the Chiefs. They don't have to win the turnover battle to win. They have a winning record. But obviously, everybody knows how you fare in those situations. Do you realize that the Bills before last night had gone, like I hadn't realized this, the Bills had gone, and we'll talk about them in a minute, but like they'd gone like 24 games without losing the turnover, 23 games before last night, before losing the turnover battle. But the Chiefs tonight, that's the whole fuel for the Jags defense. That's why I don't think it's going to be a heavy Breshard Smith game. Do you think it is?
Heavy, no. I mean, I think it'll be very similar. I'm hoping it's more snaps. I don't think we're anywhere near the point, understandably so, where it's just Breshard Smith's going to be the guy. Nobody's suggesting that. I don't. So, like, the Breshard Smith game, no. I mean, that's that. That's
like
me,
you don't think he's overtaking Pacheco in touches department.
Absolutely
tonight.
Not. I just would like to see more of them and limit them across the board from a combination of Hunt and Pacheco. But no, I'm not suggesting, I don't think anybody is, that we're going to see a game tonight or anytime soon, maybe anytime this season, frankly, where Breshard Smith is at any point getting more touches than Pacheco and Hunt combined or something like that. I don't think so at all. But I would like to see an opportunity for him in the passing game a little bit more as well. And that's just a few extra snaps. You know, I thought last week he, to me, earned himself some more opportunities. I thought he did well. And it's not because the stats are going to pop out there. But if you watch the game, I think you know what I'm talking about in terms of the ability once the ball was in his hands.
Especially in the pass.
He broke.
Catching.
He had, you know, it sounds silly. He broke a tackle. But seriously, they don't have many guys on this team that have shown they can break a tackle. And he was able to do it in a passing down. So, yes, box score, watch it. You're going to say, who cares, man? He had 3.4 yards for 7 rushes and 24 yards on the season. That's not the point.
No, it's not. But that's also, he is at some point, Gold, going to have to flash in the run game too. Mm-hmm. If he's going to have to break off one of those 10, 12, 15 yarders. Remember, of the 15 plus yard runs the Chiefs have this season, one is Xavier worthy. Like 15 of them are Patrick Mahomes, and there's like one out of the backs, right? It doesn't.
Yeah, three of the games, it's been Mahomes leading him in rushing and Worthy. Out of the three, four of the games, three of them were Mahomes twice and Worthy once.
And one was Kareem Hunt.
I think Pacheco did.
Was it Pacheco?
I think Pacheco did lead him against the Giants.
I couldn't remember which back it was, but
40,
I just.
Like 35 and a half, yeah, whatever it was. Yeah.
But again, is this a good game to improve on that? The Jaguars let up, you know, some of the least rushing yards per game in the NFL this year. And not because people are attacking him via the pass, which can certainly happen. They've just been overall been a very good defense. The turnover stuff is crazy with them, though. They can't maintain that for an entire year, can they? They can't keep up those kind of turnover rates. I don't know, man. That's the weirdest part about it, is that sometimes it just feels like it's a team's year to take the ball away. No more, no less. Not coaching or different or the players are better. They just like get it in their head that they're a team who takes the ball away, and they just do it all season long. Outside of that, I can't see much of a difference other than Xavier Worthy will probably be the most used wide receiver, I would think, and Hollywood Brown be the second most used, and then Travis Kelce will still be somewhere around that Hollywood Brown level, and then we'll figure out where they are when Rashee Rice comes back in a couple weeks, because I don't see a need for them to shift to the Breshard Smith part until, and they might not see this way either, Gold, fully, until they find out what their offense is once Rashee Rice is back. Maybe Pacheco's job is he's running against four-man fronts, essentially. They're just, like, running everyone back.
Text line says, you need to stop worrying, all right? Chiefs are going to give them the smackdown. And then you and all the other scared critics can act like you knew it was going to happen, even though right now you're still skeptics. And by the way, they'll be throwing the ball anyway. It doesn't matter. Rain, snow, and shine. Way to not listen to anything we've said in the last 6 minutes or so of the show. We literally are talking about Breshard Smith maybe getting more playing time. I don't know anything we said here that was
are you scared.
We literally are saying, hey, it'd be nice to use Breshard Smith more. That's one of those. Sometimes I wonder. I think sometimes people text in. They have this thought that no matter what, they just want to text it in. And it has nothing to do with anything we're actually talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I guess earlier we were talking about whether or not this was going to be the breakout game for the offense. Maybe they're behind on the app, you know?
Maybe. I hope for that. I hope. Because otherwise that text makes no sense.
It'd make more sense about 20, 30 minutes ago. So
okay. You think that's what it was?
I don't know. I'm at least excusing it as a possibility. Meanwhile, what's been happening in the NFL is what seems to be forming in the AFC. I think we'll break it down to the AFC West more tomorrow or later in the week, obviously, because we'll have a game to react to tomorrow. The AFC is starting to look like a sea of, and I'm not going to call it mediocrity because I do think some of these teams are good, but it is homogenous. It is stuck in a grouping together. There doesn't seem to be yet a standout team all by themselves, all by their lonesome. Right now, the Buffalo Bills lead the way with second in the way of a plus 40 scoring differential. The Colts have the best differential in the AFC at plus 74, but they've played a lot of nobodies. And so like everyone's not buying into them fully yet. If the Chiefs win tonight, do you know how many teams will be 3-2? The Chargers, the Jags, the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Chiefs. Five teams in the AFC will be 3-2. One will be 3-1 in the Steelers who had a bye, and two will be 4-1 in the Colts and the Bills. It doesn't feel like anyone's pulled away from each other yet. And that's why the AFC is starting to feel a little like it's in a mess together in a lot of ways.
It does. You know, I look, the way the AFC is shaping up, I think it's almost confusing for a lot of us that over the last 4 or 5 years, I think we're all used to seeing the Chiefs, the Bills, the Ravens, and some of those years, Cincinnati.
And just in first, second, and third place.
And it's like, all right, that's it. All right, fast forward. And I still think if we fast forward, the Chiefs and the Bills will be there at the end. I know Buffalo lost last night. I don't think suddenly they're not going to be one of the top
Ravens
teams,
are still okay? Favored to win their division somehow.
That's crazy. They are, but that is crazy. I think a lot of it is we see a team like the Colts, who are 4-1, right? And their one loss really is only because A.D. Mitchell did what DeMarcado did yesterday for the Cardinals, which is, for whatever reason, these guys continue occasionally to drop the ball at the goal line right before it. Not even like fumble because it got punched out like Kyren Williams on Thursday Night Football. I'm talking just celebrating. It makes no sense. Anyway, A.D. Mitchell did that. It's the reason why the Rams beat the Colts. So the Colts could very realistically be the only remaining undefeated team in football right now, but they're not. Wins are wins, losses are losses. And yet we look at the Colts and we don't take them seriously yet. I say we because I actually do think I'm speaking for the majority of people on this. I don't think a lot of people take the Colts all that seriously in terms of this convo, legit AFC contender. I take them seriously that the Colts are going to be a playoff team and
they're going to be a tough team
that,
for the
and a tough
Chiefs
game
to beat
and all that. But in terms of, do I expect the Colts to be in an AFC title game? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so we're normally seeing, you know, the usual suspects, and we're not. And so that's what's weird about the AFC. And it doesn't look like anybody is far and away better than anybody. And so it's all grouped. Now, record wise, I still think the Bills, because of the schedule, will end up as a number one seed. Some of you disagree. That's fine. But that the AFC in terms of this team can't be that team, none of that really is existing. I mean, truly, the Chiefs can beat the Bills. The Bills can beat the Chiefs. The Chargers can beat the Chiefs. Duh, they already did. The Chiefs can beat the Chargers. The Broncos can beat the Chargers. The Broncos can beat the Bills. Like, they just beat the Eagles, for crying out loud. Like,
yeah, they definitely beat the Bills.
Everybody can beat everybody right now, the way it's looking in the AFC.
Well, and I think the point differential, other than, again, the Colts, would suggest that. The Colts got a couple of blowout wins, so their number's out of there. Hell, Houston has, I apologize, the Houston Texans actually have the second best point differential in the AFC. Well, they won by yesterday. That's pretty much all of it. Other than that, they've been dead even. And they're 2-3 and not playing good football outside of that either. And So it does feel like, for the first time in a long time, I will say, the Chiefs, Bills, and Ravens can lose to any of the other teams in the regular season. Colts, Steelers, Jags tonight for the Chiefs.
Sure.
Maybe not Cincinnati, but like Texans, they can lose to those teams more than I ever felt like they were regularly going to lose to those teams in the AFC. So maybe we are going to look at 13-4. I will say, I don't want to overreact to the Bills losing what was a very close game, a divisional game against a team that Josh Allen is 500 against, the only team he struggles with against in the AFC East. And Drake May made some absolutely perfect throws. It took a lot of things. They had to take the ball away. He made some perfect throws. They had to have the ball last. It still took a lot to go right for the Patriots to come up on top of the Bills. And the Bills' schedule overall is the Miami Dolphins are awful. The Jets are even worse than them. And so they still do have a lot of games in their own conference and their own division against joke teams. The one thing I'll say it's going to help this conference is the thing we mentioned before. All of these teams can beat each other. And the Ravens could probably beat a lot of teams once Lamar Jackson's back. They can make a problem for some teams once he's back too.
Yeah, there's no true juggernaut. And if you're going to say that's the case and you're talking about the one seed and things like that, well, then schedule is a huge part of it. And,
yeah,
you know, fast forward a month from now, I think we could view the Patriots way differently as well. You know, like there's a chance that a month from now that we all view the Patriots as actually one of the top five teams in the AFC. Like I legit think there's a chance that when we get to November, we could all be saying, you know what? The Patriots are not going to win the division. That's the Bills. But the Patriots are going to be a dangerous five seed or something like that. I think that's in play. Here's who the Patriots have coming up themselves. So big win last night. They have the Saints. Have the Titans. Then they have the Browns. Then they have the Falcons. Like they
those can are all, three of the worst five teams in the NFL.
I'm not saying they're going to win all four, but they could.
Yeah,
they could easily go 3-1 during that stretch. So I think last night was a huge, huge boost for Drake May's confidence and for that entire Patriots team. And they're, to me, only going to get better as the season goes on. They're currently 3-2, as you said. And last night was not one result many people were predicting, that's for sure.
No, I thought the Bills would win. We talked about it going into on Thursday. We were talking about it. I didn't think it was a non-zero chance. I just didn't think the Bills would give the ball away the way that they did in that game. What stood out in that game is those two teams played a real sloppy half of football, especially a sloppy first quarter of football. But like it was 3-3 with 1 second to go in the first half. And it took Vrabel, I thought, settling wrong. It didn't matter because he won the game, so he can hold that over my head. And I said it at the time, not before, so like I stand by That's it. Fun. But 6-3, it was like, what was the point of that? That half was just a waste of time. Just flush it away and let's.
It was like the Chiefs Giants. Giants first half.
And then Drake May just made some. You know what my biggest takeaway from that? Not that Josh Allen shrunk in some big moment. I've watched Josh Allen play a lot of big time games and play well in a lot of big time games. I just thought Drake May played more like Josh Allen in the second half of that game than Josh Allen played like Josh Allen. He made the bigger throws. He made the bigger plays. He made the more impossible plays for his team. That happens every once in a while. I've seen Mahomes got in a couple of games here and there by a lesser quarterback. It occurs. And that was Drake May's single biggest win of his career because it was in Buffalo and he was doing everything to hoist, you know, to help his team get the win. That's what stood out in that one is if Drake May keeps looking like that, he'll become one of the better quarterbacks of the AFC.
I don't think it'll be in the conversation with the other four,
but
we can probably talk more about this, not tomorrow, it'll be a day after a game, but maybe Wednesday or Thursday of the show. That quarterback draft class suddenly is looking a hell of a lot, I mean, across the board. You know, last year was all about, you know, Jaden Daniels and what he was able to do.
Caleb Williams, Drake May.
Yeah, I mean,
Spencer Rattler has not been a complete joke.
I think he's been pretty solid,
I'm just saying that entire QB draft class looks really, really good right now.
It does. Looks like it was pretty deep. Like, and they thought it was deep at the time it got drafted, as you remember. But still, it's been more impressive than I was anticipating, for sure.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to what's trending. Normally on a Monday, of course, we would have Andy Reid's press conference, but it's game day, so everything is pushed back and everything like that. But reminder, on Mondays, the only place you can hear from Andy Reid is right here on 96.5 The Fan. So we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk a little bit more about what's at stake for the Jags tonight, and then a little stock up, stock down.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.